My name is Ellen. Last spring, I divorced my husband of 16 years, Robert. I thought we were happy together, but he'd been cheating on me for years. When I finally caught him in the act, I left and never looked back. I got my own condo near my work and tried to restart my life. Robert and I had never had any kids of our own. That was Robert's idea, of course. And now I am too old to have a family. Honestly, this year has been the worst of my life. Everything I thought I knew about my husband was wrong, and I really didn't want to see any of my friends. They all sided with me in the divorce, of course, but I couldn't stand their sympathetic looks. They all pitied me, and I didn't want to deal with that right now. So I decided to do my best to make a new friend group. Right away, I met my new neighbor, Lainey. And I knew that she'd make a good friend. She was friendly and funny. She came over and introduced herself, and she didn't ask me any embarrassing questions, like why I was all alone at this stage of my life. On that first meeting, we drank coffee and talked for hours. I got a really good feeling about her. It was only after Lainey left that I noticed something odd. I went into my bathroom, which Lainey had used during her visit, and I noticed that my medicine drawer was wide open. She must have rifled around in there. She must have seen all the anti-anxiety medication I was on. This was a clear invasion of privacy, but I forced myself to forget about it. After all, I really needed a friend. 2 days later, Lainey showed up at my door with a casserole. I let her in, and we had a pretty nice chat. At first. Over time, though, she started asking me strange questions. She asked if I'd had any visions since I'd moved in, if any objects had been moved, if I'd heard any voices telling me to do something. I honestly didn't know how to answer. She must have thought I was insane from all the medication I was on. Lainey saw how uncomfortable I felt because she said, "It's nothing personal, Ellen. This condo's just... well, the people who move in here tend to have some strange experiences. I just want you to be prepared." "What are you saying?" I asked. "That my condo's haunted?" "Maybe," she said. She looked deadly serious. A few years back, a married couple moved in. They seemed happy at first, but the husband had a wandering eye, and when the wife found out, well, she bought a gun and... Lainey's voice trailed off. "Someone got murdered here?" I asked. She nodded gravely. "And ever since then, residents don't stay here long. But you're the first single person to rent this place, so maybe you're different. Maybe you won't notice anything at all." She left pretty soon after that, acting like nothing had happened. That night, I couldn't sleep. I kept picturing Robert walking into the house, and then me shooting him dead. It was horrifying. I hated Robert more than anyone in the world, but I didn't want to see him get murdered. Eventually, I fell asleep. But around 3 in the morning, I jerked awake. Someone was downstairs. I could hear footsteps. Ignoring my fear, I went downstairs and turned on all the lights. No one was there. But I noticed that both my front and back door were wide open, and there were bits of paper scattered all around the floor. When I got closer, I realized that they weren't papers. They were cut-up wedding photos. Someone had snuck in and found my wedding album in one of my still-packed boxes. They'd cut out every photo of Robert, using a Sharpie to scratch out his face and draw X's over his eyes. Who did this? Was it Lainey just trying to mess with me? Was it Robert, who somehow tracked down my new address? Or was it something else? I closed and locked both doors and then picked up all the photos. I dumped them all into a drawer. I figured that if someone was messing with me, I'd need to have the evidence. When everything was cleaned up, and I was sure that no one else was in the condo, I headed back upstairs. That's when I heard the voice. It sounded like Robert's, only deeper. It said, "Kill him, Ellen. Kill him." I couldn't tell where the voice was coming from. It sounded like it was coming from every direction, from the walls themselves. Shut up! I screamed and ran into my bedroom. I got back under the covers and tried to go back to sleep, but I kept hearing that voice. Kill him, Ellen. The next day, I went next door to visit Lainey. I needed answers. She looked like she was expecting me. She invited me inside and we sat at her coffee table. You're scared, she said. Did something happen? For some reason, she put her purse in the middle of the table. I didn't know why. Yeah, I answered. It was like you said. Last night, I heard voices. Terrible voices. And what did they tell you to do? She looked down at her purse, and then back at me. They told me to kill, I said. And was there anything else? She asked. Did you see anything? Lainey had a very strange expression on her face. She was almost smiling. There were torn up photos of my ex-husband on the floor, I said. They were defaced. Interesting, Lainey said. She fiddled with a strap on her purse. Now, do you remember tearing up those photos? No, I said. It wasn't me. Are you sure? She asked. Perhaps you weren't aware of what you were doing. Are you saying I'm crazy? All I'm saying is that you found Robert's torn-up photos, and a voice was telling you to kill him. Maybe you've just been pushed too far. Maybe you need help. I jumped out of my chair. Everything was finally becoming clear. How did you know his name was Robert? I asked. I never told you his name. Lainey's expression instantly dropped. She grabbed her purse and stood up too. Maybe you should leave. I was not going to leave. Not since I knew what Lainey was up to. I grabbed the purse from her arms and opened it. Her cell phone was hidden inside, recording our entire conversation. It's not what you think, Lainey said. You don't even know what I think, I screamed at her. Let me tell you what I think. I think that you snuck into my house and cut up those photos yourself. I think you made up the whole story about my condo being haunted just to keep me on edge. But the voices you've been hearing, she protested. You switched my medications. On the first day you visited me, I saw that my medicine cabinet was open. You planted that stupid ghost story in my head. You talked about the other residents hearing voices, and you knew that the same thing would happen to me because of whatever crazy pills you put in my medicine cabinet. Is that right? Lainey slowly began to smile. I guess you figured out everything, huh? But why? I asked. I don't even know you. But I know you, she said. Robert's told me everything about you. You're the reason he and I can't be together. I gasped. She was one of the women Robert had been sleeping with. But what did she want from me? You took everything from him in the divorce, she explained. His money's what's paying for your condo, right? That wasn't right at all. I barely got anything in the divorce. Well, all I needed to do was show the world how insane you really are, she said. And once you're locked up, Robert will be free of you forever. And he and I will finally start our new life. He loves me, you know. Now give me back my purse. Okay, I said. I'll give it back. But there are two things you need to know. For one thing, your phone is still recording, so I have your confession. She shrugged. She knew that she could just take her phone back from me and delete the parts that made her look bad. And two, I said, Robert doesn't love you. He slept with dozens of women during our marriage. I made him write down a list of names. And guess what? He didn't include yours. I guess he forgot about you. Lainey instantly went wild. She lunged at me, ready to rip me apart. But I took her purse and struck her so hard on the side of the head that she flew backwards and landed right on top of her glass coffee table. It shattered under her. As she lay there, I called the police. When they arrived, I played them the whole recording. They instantly took Lainey away. Coincidentally, Robert called me the next day to ask if I'd agree to a delay in his divorce payments. I said sure. I had enough money for now. I told him about what Lainey tried to do, and he just laughed. Yeah, he said. Out of all my girlfriends, she was the crazy one.
Late August, my boyfriend Johnny and I moved into a new apartment together. I picked it out, but I was pretty sure that Johnny loved the place as much as I did. We'd been dating for 2 years, and it was finally time for us to live together. We were both living with other roommates at the time, though Johnny liked his ex-roommate a lot better than I liked mine. He lived with a guy named Riley who was on his baseball team. They'd known each other since high school and were pretty close. Riley was excited that we found a new place for ourselves, even though he was a little sad to lose his roommate. My ex-roommate Judy, however, was a completely different story. The only reason I lived with her was because I had answered a Craigslist ad and I was desperate. From day one, we never got along. She always ignored me unless she wanted to ask me a favor. She tried to seduce Johnny multiple times, not because she liked him, but because she just wanted to make my life miserable. Now that Johnny and I had an apartment to ourselves, I knew that I would never see Judy again. Riley would probably come over and visit a lot, but I made sure not to give Judy my new address. She was not my friend. The place wasn't too nice, but there was more than enough space for me and Johnny. We even had a guest room that Johnny could use as an office. Plus, the kitchen was huge. Sure, we were paying a bit more than we could afford, but otherwise, everything was just right. We both took a week off from work so we could settle in and unpack. But on our third day there, Johnny got called into a last-minute meeting. He was gone for the whole day. I kept busy, mostly fixing up our kitchen, but by the time night had fallen and Johnny still hadn't come back, I got a little spooked. I thought that there was someone wandering in our backyard. Our apartment was on the ground floor with a little courtyard in the back. It was a public space, of course, so anyone who lived in the building could go back there. But I kept getting the feeling that someone was sneaking around outside and peering into our windows. I knew that I was probably being paranoid. To prove to myself that nothing was wrong, I walked into the courtyard and looked around. No one else was there, but I noticed shoe prints in the dirt right outside our window. It sure looked like someone had been there, like someone had been spying on me. Johnny came home a little bit later, and I told him my concerns. He put his hand on my shoulder and told me that I just had new apartment jitters. I figured he was right. But then, the next morning, I was about to go to the supermarket when I noticed that someone had broken all the windows on my car. I ran back inside to get Johnny, and together, we called our landlord and told him about the vandalism. I was going to tell him about the weird footprints too, but Johnny stopped me. A landlord said that he'd call a mechanic to fix the windows, but he couldn't do anything else. He said that the security camera had malfunctioned the night before, so there wasn't any footage of the vandal. That was when I started to get really nervous. This could have all been unrelated, but then again, it could be someone trying to scare us out of our apartment. I was too freaked out to go to the supermarket, so we ordered pizzas for dinner and asked Riley if he wanted to come hang out. I didn't know Riley nearly as well as Johnny did, but I knew he was a good guy. I figured that if we told him about our potential stalker, he'd listen. He'd probably even talk some sense into Johnny, who seemed to be taking all this much less seriously than I was. That evening, Riley showed up with a potted plant as a housewarming gift. The three of us sat in our new living room, talked, and ate pizza. We all had a good time catching up, but whenever I started to bring up my fears, Johnny would very quickly change the subject. I guess he didn't want me to ruin our night. A few hours later, after we were all a little drunk, Riley started telling us a story from his work, but in the middle of the story, he froze. He was staring in horror outside our back window. "What's wrong?" I asked. He said. "I think there's someone out there spying on us." "I knew it!" I shouted. "Johnny, call the police!" Johnny ignored me. Instead, he turned towards Riley and asked exactly what he had seen. Riley explained that there was a woman outside. She was tall and blonde. She wore thick glasses. I couldn't believe it. Riley had just described my ex-roommate Judy. They never met before. "And," Riley added, "she was holding a baseball bat." "What the hell?" Johnny shouted. He jumped to his feet and started toward the door. "What are you doing?" I asked. "We need to just call the police." "I can handle this," he said. We opened the door to leave, and we saw a car drive out of the parking lot. "She must have just left," Riley said. "Johnny, you need to follow her." Johnny nodded and then walked right out the door. He didn't even say goodbye. I turned toward Riley, who was smiling for some reason. "It'll be okay," he told me. He stood up and walked toward the door. Then he clicked the lock and deadbolt into place. "What are you doing?" I asked. "Protecting you," he said. "We'll be safe in here." "But Johnny will be able to take care of himself," he answered. Then he sat right next to me, too close. "You're trembling," he told me. "I'm okay," I lied. He slid his arm over my shoulder and said that everything would be fine. Johnny would find the woman who was messing with us, and in the meantime, he'd be here to protect me. "I don't need protection," I said. I tried to push him away, but he wouldn't let go. I told him that I could protect myself. I told him to leave. "Not gonna do that," he said. "I know you're still freaked out over the broken windows. It'll be fine, trust me." I didn't trust him. It was like I was seeing him for the first time, seeing what he was truly like. His eyes were dark and cold. His smile was not a happy smile. "How did you know about the broken windows?" I asked him. "We never told him about that." He stared at me for the longest time. Then he said, "Oops." I pushed him off me and jumped to my feet. "It was you all along," I said. "You snuck around the house. You vandalized our car. You probably didn't even see anyone out there, did you?" "Okay," he admitted. "You got me."
"Why are you doing this?"
"Isn't it obvious?" he asked. "Because I love Johnny. I always have. I thought that you were just a phase, but no! He left me for you!
You were just his roommate.
And I was the best roommate he's ever had. And after tonight, he'll move back in with me and everything will go back to the way it was." Riley started walking towards me. One hand was behind his back. He was hiding something. A knife? A gun?
"What are you going to do to me?" I asked.
"I'm not gonna hurt you, silly," he said. "I'm just gonna help you sleep a bit." And with that, he revealed the chloroform-soaked cloth that he was hiding behind his back. In a single motion, he surged forward and shoved the cloth over my face. In seconds, I was out. When I came to my senses, I was tied up in a dark room, probably a closet. From the pain in my wrist and ankles, I could tell that I'd been tied up for a while. I tried to speak, but my mouth was duct taped. And after my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I could see a sliver of light. The closet door was an inch open, and I could see out into the living room. I saw that Johnny had just returned. He and Riley were standing just outside. "Where's Rachel?" Johnny asked. "I just went to her ex-roommate's house, and she was having a party. That proves she's not the one messing with us." "I see," Riley said. He glanced nervously at the closet. "Well, I'm sorry, man, but Rachel left. She said she couldn't handle living here anymore."
"She left me?" Johnny said.
Riley stepped closer and hugged him. "I'm sorry, man. It was like she had a nervous breakdown." I tried to scream, but I couldn't make a sound. I started thrashing around, trying to make any noise so that Johnny would know that I was still there. He needed to find me. I kept rocking my body, kicking against the wall until a single broom clattered to the floor. Johnny definitely heard that. He started to run toward the closet door, but Riley stopped him. "Don't worry about it," Riley said. "She's gone now, but I'm here." Johnny pushed him away and ran to the door. He pulled it open and saw me bound and gagged on the closet floor.
"What the hell?"
He turned to look accusingly at Riley. "Oops," Riley said again. "I had this long plan, and Rachel figured it out too soon, so I didn't have time to dispose of her." My heart filled with hope. I knew that Johnny was going to untie me and call the cops, but he wasn't moving. I thought he was in shock, because he just kept staring at me. "It's not what you think," Riley said. Don't be mad. Stop! Johnny shouted. I'd never heard him so loud. I know exactly what you're doing. You want me back. You think that if you terrorize her and drove her out of our new apartment, then I'll finally break up with her like we always talked about.
What?
I tried to scream, but it just came out as a sad, muffled moan. Johnny stepped closer to Riley. You did all that for me? Riley nodded. The two men left me alone to talk in the other room, in private. I was still tied up and seething with rage. After a few minutes, Johnny came back into the hallway alone. He untied me, said he was sorry. Then he drove off with Riley. I thought about calling the cops, but in the end, I decided to just let it go. After Johnny came back for all his stuff, I never saw him again. And for the record, I still live in that same apartment. It's not half bad.
The first time I saw a circus, I was 6 years old. I'd gone with my father to the fair, and it had been one of the best days of my life because my father passed away a few days later. It was my fondest memory of our relationship, too, because he had been so warm and affectionate with me at the circus when I'd been overwhelmed by the awesome things that were on display. I could tell a few people at the fair were familiar with him because when the show was over, he'd eagerly gone over to one of the performers, the magician, and they discussed with flourish. I could not easily forget the magician because he had a strange smile due to a gash on the lower part of his face. Sometimes I still get a twinge in my chest because I feel like I can perceive his scent from that day. My father was always particular about those things. He wore only cotton shirts and a particular type of pants. He had a very fancy gold Rolex watch he got from the fair, and it never left his wrist. But after his death, that watch went missing from his belongings. And now, it was this watch that had me curious when the small miracle of a Craigslist offering appeared on my screen for a fancy gold watch that sunny Saturday. I assumed it was awfully similar to the watch which my dad owned, but I had nothing to reference the watch by, so I quickly sent a message to the seller. They replied in minutes, and I could tell he tried his best to make a salesman type of charm with me. I went with it with keen attention, drawn to this watch by a power which was beyond me. I chalked up to the fact that it reminded me so much of my father. The seller made his price known, and it was a steep call from what he had stated on the site. I asked why it was so, and he claimed to have only dropped the price to court interest, that no one had ever wanted the watch up until I came along. I thought that was an interesting reason, even though I couldn't shake the awry feeling. Hey, I typed at him, I'd like to get the watch, and I'll pay your sum. I noted his hesitation at first because our exchange had been fluid up until that stage. I was anxious. Seconds passed with the heavy hand of an eternity as I watched the screen. The harder I stared at the watch, the clearer it became to me that it should belong to me. He told me that he could have it delivered to me personally, if I did not mind, as it was surprising to him that someone would want such an old watch for that sum. I didn't mind and agreed. We talked about the time of his arrival. Hours passed since my conversation with the seller, and I was reminded by the blaring alarm which I had set for the moment of his arrival. I rushed from my workstation, a small part of my house, to the clock to turn it off when a light rapping noise echoed on my door. I paused in my track and heaved to clear my foggy mind from the lumbering progression of thought. Who's there? I asked as I walked gingerly towards the door.
Hey, delivery!
The voice, clearly old and male, replied.
Shit.
I cussed under my breath as I sauntered through the room to the door. I turned the key on the lock backwards and pulled it open. The door yawned open enough for me to stick my head through. A familiar, rushing scent wound into my nostril and I recoiled. The man's face changed from a beaming smile to a look of concern when he noted my reaction.
Are you okay?
He asked when I stared at him in confusion, unable to place the scent still. I nodded gently, assessing him guardedly. A clean strip of cold sweat pooled around my neck. and I struggled with the zipping and unzipping sensation of my chest. It had been years since I'd felt that, and I wondered if it was worth getting the watch back.
You wanted the watch?
The man asked with a stern expression. Yes, please. How would you like to be paid, cash or online? I quizzed, dizzy from the rush of my mind. He paused and stared at me.
I'm not sure it's safe to collect such a sum of cash from you, and I'm not quite familiar with these new online payment systems.
I stopped and wondered why he would come all that way just to deliver his wristwatch without knowing how he would like to be paid. My sense of concern was aroused.
How about I think of a way to take payment from you and I'll be back in a few days, he said,
and stared down at his pocket before he could fully flash a smile. He retrieved his hands from his pocket and the watch came out with it. I was overcome with a cold sweat as he looked up and that familiar smile from years ago registered in my head. I was stunned silent as I visually trailed the scar on the lower part of his face, which made his smiling awkward. I swallowed a harsh, nervous air which was at the back of my throat.
How did you get this watch, sir? I asked.
Pardon me? He queried back.
He was no longer smiling. He had a wicked grimace which betrayed his ready inclination to harm me. I did not care.
My father once owned this watch, I clarified as I stood by the door, heart racing as he turned around to reveal his eyes.
First, the pair of pupils were blue, and then they were red, and then green as he blinked and walked towards me. My respiration intensified as the meaning of all of it dawned on me. I was standing before the man who had stabbed my father all those years ago, and he'd hypnotized me now. I felt my muscles slacken as he moved closer to me, and I started to wobble backwards from the door. With my strongest effort to break from his hypnosis, I moved back and slammed the door shut. I shook my head, and I was once again in control of myself.
Seems as though I'd have to collect everything now rather than later.
He snickered viciously as he pried the door open with a forceful yank. I had no means of escape, so I did what I had to and leapt on him, dashing out a striking blow with my fist which connected with his throat. He choked and gasped for air, pleading.
I assume someone's already paid you, I shouted.
He struggled through wheezing.
Damn! I should have known that I can't sell the same watch to a family twice.
With those last words, he shut his eyes. And I stood there, shaking with panic and wondering what had just happened.